Hello, and welcome to The Human Now, where we are discussing ideas around what it means to be in this state of time, and most importantly, making positivity louder. No matter where you are around the world, welcome. No matter what you're feeling, we hope this podcast helps to lift your mood and your energy. I'm Cash.
And I'm Perry.
And this is The Human Now.
I'm excited.
Same. I'm actually feeling a little nervous.
You're about to get roasted.
Yeah. And I think since I've come home, or actually the whole day, I don't know, I've been feeling a little nervous. And I think that's because of the guest and the person we have in the room.
Tell us.
So this person is a mother, a wife, a grandmother, probably for almost a year now. This person wears many hats, is a leader in the community, is the Pukitapapa local board chair. I like to say the Prime Minister of Mount Roskill. without further ado, and we'd like to welcome to the show my mum, Ila Kumar.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for having me here today. Thank you, Perry.
No, thank you
Akash.
We're excited.
Yeah, and I think it's fitting. So Perry and I have kind of been on a journey in the last couple episodes talking about discovering who we are, who we really are. And we found it was fitting to have you on the show because I think you're someone in both our lives who is authentically themselves and beyond just being those labels of, you know, a mum, a wife, a member of just the community and someone who serves the society. I think you know who you are on that level of the core.
Yeah. And to the point where you've broken some barriers. Well, that's what it looks like from the outside anyway, that you've broken some barriers to stay true to who you are. So it's something we'll get into a little bit later on.
But I have to ask this. Why are you feeling so nervous, Akash? I'm only your mum.
I don't know. I feel like because it's been almost 5 years since we've been doing this podcast, then I think it's, you know, we've always told you what the podcast is, but I don't know. Maybe it's because it's just having a discussion on this level.
Yeah.
You know, usually when I talk to you, we're always joking or, you know, but it's probably like the first time I'm probably having a little bit more of a, like we have whenever we talk, it's always real and we're always, you know, sharing our emotions. If we don't agree, we don't agree. Yeah. And if we agree, we agree. But I feel like this is, you know, getting into.
Yeah. I wonder if Akash is thinking that because I wear different hats, does he see me in different hats? I know the podcast is not about Akash, but I wonder because of his nervousness, were you thinking about all the different hats that I was wearing and not the main one, your mum? Yeah.
I think so. I think I just forgot that. And then today it just hit me. It was like, oh, actually my mum's coming into the studio and. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. So in terms of we do a morale check.
Sure.
We see where we are and we rate that from a 1 to 10. Yeah. And yeah, I think usually I'm like a 6 or 7. Right now. I'm probably about a 4 or 5.
That's out of fear, is it?
Yeah. Perry?
I'm very excited to have this conversation. Oh. I'm sitting at a 8, 9.
Yep.
So I'm coming in hot.
Mum. Well, I'm feeling about 8 or 9. I'm excited about what you guys do. I've seen it on Facebook, and I'm excited that, and also excited in the sense that you wanted me to be part of it today.
Of course,
so it's been on my head throughout the few days that you spoke to me about it since last week. I see you both as my sons, so it is exciting to see what you guys are doing and probably that little proud moment too.
Oh, nice.
To be here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So with every guest that comes on, and we like to start the episode off with, we call the morning montage.
Yeah, he's mumbling. He's so nervous. So a little segment we call the morning montage.
Yeah.
It's something that Akash created. And the idea is this is the song that you wake up to. It sets the tone for your day. This is essentially the background score to the movie of your life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play this song.
Sure.
And then we'll talk about it.
Cool.
I want to break free.
That is Queen, I Want to Break Free.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about why this is your song.
I think the main words, I want to break free, I suppose there's a lot of history behind it. I think we can go on forever, probably sitting here and talking about my upbringing. Mm-hmm. But for me, my upbringing was a little bit different to probably what the generations have had at the moment. Don't forget, I'm a first generation born in New Zealand. Yeah. Parents are from overseas, from India, who migrated and tried to settle themselves down. So they being busy, for me it was, and probably the time I did break free was when my sister got married and her life changed, which probably helped my life change slightly. Mm-hmm. The reason I think about the words break free, I think everything I do every day, it's sort of challenged from whatever direction, whether it's a mother, whether it's a grandmother, whether it's a community member, whether it's sitting on the local board chair position, every day these are things that we're going to be challenged with. Mm. And it's about breaking free from things to make sure it's better in the community, not a negative way, in a positive way. Mm-hmm. That's how I would see it. The words are just so lifting for me.
Yes,
I want to break free. I think if anyone thinks about them words, you can put that into life.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. I love it.
You know the dance she does to this? That's all I remember, all I pictured when I heard the song.
You know, I'd be careful if I were you because I'm sure there's a lot more stories the other way.
No, but I think it does make you feel a lot better, stronger, happier. We all travel our own journeys, but having things like that, I think it's great to hear that you actually do this on your podcast because it gives people a chance to reflect and maybe have one if they haven't got one yet. So I'm happy to share the one I had.
Nice.
Cool.
I think moving, like, you know, how you talked about you breaking free and it's, do you want to talk a little bit more about maybe some of the obstacles that you've faced in life which have actually helped you to be the person you are today?
Yeah. I suppose being an Indian female, being brought up in a family, like I'm talking big families, we're not talking about small families. There were like three families in one home with a grandmother and then lots of visitors coming through. I think we were restrained in the sense that we were females as well. Not in a bad way again. I think I wouldn't change anything. But for the time that we were brought up, females were brought up in the household that I was in, that you cook, clean, and you get married. As for the boys, got a little bit of a different, and then generations they were born, we had five girls in the family and the boys came after. The boys got a understanding that they had to study, work and study. So for me, it was very much the sense that that's what, we didn't know anything else different. So we did it. We did exactly that. Didn't think of ever the future of even studying or looking for a job was on my head, but that's about it, not studying because we weren't encouraged. I think the feelings of not going and breaking the barriers then was important, knowing that we respected the elders and didn't question the elders. But try to fit into the community. Boy, that was hard. Mm-hmm. Just in the local schools, trying to be recognised. I still can remember one time when you're good at something, you sort of really want to make sure you can show people. So in primary school, I probably was okay with my sports. Hence, I'm probably one of the sporting industries that I'm in now at the moment. But without any support on my own, found that I used to enjoy playing softball. You know, I carried that in my primary school. There was one popular guy in the school. So this popular guy, I managed to get him out by catching the ball that he actually did the bat to. I suppose that made a difference in my life, noting that I actually got the popular guy out in primary school. Mm. And I think that lifted my spirits into sports, mm-hmm. that you can be anyone you want to. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to get recognized for it. But yeah, did it make a change in the school at that time? It did. People realized that I could play sports.
Yeah.
I didn't like the feeling of being, in them days, they used to choose teams. And being an Indian, being colored, I suppose, made a difference then because not many people are around. Mm-hmm. I used to hate being the one left on the bench, second to last maybe, yeah. because everyone, the children chose who they wanted in their team. That day, it changed my life a little bit because I was chosen on the team straight away because I showed and proved that I was able to catch that ball.
Yeah.
And that's just something small, but it helped me at that time. Through the family, so I think for my dad, I think it was challenging for him because he was trying to work. He was trying to get money into the home, trying to keep the families together, keep different generations going. So he didn't really have the time for the kids, for the girls. Mum didn't really understand English. So if we wanted to do anything, we had to do it on our own, but strict rules.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't just get up and go anywhere. You couldn't even go with your own family, brothers. You couldn't go with uncles. It was quite strict. Mm. But once again, not saying that was a bad way to bring us up. At that time, it's fine. I don't think I'll change that either. Yeah.
You said, you've said twice now that you wouldn't change it.
No.
In retrospect, is that still true? You wouldn't change a thing?
Not for that time. If I think about it now, for your generations that you've all brought up in, I think there's a lot of differences from what we were brought up in. Mm-hmm. So for the time we were brought up in, I think it's made me a better person, having that upbringing. So the society wasn't big enough to really allow us to flourish probably then. Right. And there was just not our cultural beliefs and backgrounds that we had to follow. Even the society we were living in hadn't caught up yet. So there was a lot of challenges in New Zealand where probably women's rights weren't really there anyway.
Sure.
Mm. So chances are it would have not made a difference.
Mm.
But it made me a better person through my life, allowing my dad that respect and allowing him to make these decisions for us. Of course, he did one thing. He allowed me to marry the guy I wanted. So
real love story, shout out.
So you could see that the change was coming when he did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even though there were strict rules on who we can marry, my husband, of course, he just fitted into all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of challenges with other people that spoke to him as well about who I was marrying. So he was trying to respond to that sort of discussion that was happening around him. And the reason I just say don't change it for me then, I don't think it's a great thing that could have happened, is I could have been a different person today if these changes did happen too early and the society itself wasn't ready for these changes, and we probably would have ended up slightly not in the places we're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I'm quite thankful. Yeah. I think the family home, I actually love the way we lived with a full home.
Yeah.
I do miss that, noting that I think if I had to do that now, it'd be too hard. Yeah, in them days, because we didn't do anything else, pretty much home, you know, everyone played outside, you had a big family, you were able to do that together. We went on picnics, we went to movies together. Mm. There wasn't much of a TV. It was a black and white. We didn't have a video. So it was just, you know, your entertainment was your family. And that has changed now because you have entertainment that is slightly different. For the generations now, though, I think your challenge is slightly different. And for me as a mother and a community leader, there'll still be challenges very similar for females. They have changed a little bit more, but I think they are still there.
Mm.
Yeah. Have I answered your question?
Yeah. I was just going to say, so how did... You know, you've been brought up in a traditional household. You weren't allowed to go to, you weren't put into university, and you were an aerobics instructor. You've become an aerobics instructor, and that's completely like left field of what it is to be an Indian woman at that time.
That time,
you know, so if there's like, how did you know to go and follow that?
Yeah.
If that's telling you from within
yeah.
that this is what I need to do and who I'm meant to be. But on the outside in your home is saying you need to be the, you need to be this. How did you
go into that direction?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a hard one because it wasn't accepted. I still can remember taking off to do aerobic classes, and they used to have it in Victoria Street, and it was a jazzercise, jazzergetics place. Of course, I got to go with my sister who wanted to start, and she was driving, so she'd take me along. And I used to go the day she used to go, but then eventually she started to get a bit limited and I started to catch a bus. So I think catching the bus gave me a little bit more power than I know how to get on the bus and not know how to get in town. And I sort of, at that time, I can't remember exactly how I was allowed to go, whether it was because my sister took me and then my mum and dad agreed it was okay to do that. But they managed to allow us to get, I was allowed to go on the bus. Go to the bus, do the workout, come back. At that time, I wasn't an instructor, so it was okay. When I started to look at the instructor's field of becoming an instructor, because I was so passionate about what I liked, and the reason I liked it is the song that we use, I Want to Break Free. When I walked into that jazzercise, jazzergetics class, I felt like I broke free. You know, we can't go to nightclubs. We couldn't go to nightclubs. But here I was jumping around in music, and I looked at people on the stage, which just was so bubbly and so encouraging and so motivating. I think it sort of started to change the way I felt. And to me, it was probably equivalent to a nightclub. But I felt like I was able to get a workout. I think the building of a workout and the way I felt after the workout started to make some changes in the way I actually felt as a person.
Right.
And it gave me, started to give me more confidence in life. That I can do things. Because from that, from going to aerobics, which my parents weren't agreeing with, nor were the community, definitely was not accepted. In them days when they saw aerobics, they saw people with clothing that were like, they call it G-strings, and they called it like togs, and it just leotards wasn't appropriate, and, leg warmers, but jumping around in public. I was at the university for a heck of a long time teaching classes. And of course, at the old University Recreation Centre, they used to have this little, we were in the stadium, in the hall, the hall area. And of course, you had people at the top watching. So it was sort of like a no-no for my family anyway, that you couldn't have men or women, doesn't matter who it really was, looking at you doing aerobics. So the way I had to wear clothing was, I'd take clothing with me, get changed at the recreation centre, then get changed back and go home. Sometimes it was sort of doing a quick change, what I can in the car to get ready to teach classes and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I think my dad didn't really understand and my mum didn't really quite understand what it sort of gave me until fitness started to be a bit more of an interest to them. Then things did change in the wider community. For women and an Indian, not many Indians were jumping around doing aerobics, actually, not that I can remember anyone at that time. There was only one other guy. Now, the guy was probably different to a female doing this sort of class. I remember being at the Manukau World Gym, and that's when we had a dairy, and I was teaching classes for them. And I came across a guy, he was Indian, and I thought, oh, I don't often see Indian guys doing gym workouts as an instructor.
Yeah.
So he was a personal trainer. So it was great to see that. But for women, myself, there wasn't any time that I think in the 20 years while I was at the university and now 35 years in the industry, come across many women aerobic instructors who are Indian. Yes, yoga. I think I do see a lot of yoga instructors now that are Indian, but still don't see people that are doing all sorts of other fitness classes. There has been people that picked up yoga, maybe a little bit of Zumba, but they're still not probably reps registered. It's registered exercise prescribed instructors. So the challenges of that, of getting changed, getting accepted, thinking that that's a profession, which they didn't see it as a profession, but it helped me to open a lot more doors as a person. And often I say to people in the community as a leader now too, I think I'm probably an elected member, and I have to put it down to it may have been aerobics. It had helped me got there. Yeah, a little bit of work I had to do for other things, but I think the recognition has to come from there because I got to be a bit more comfortable in who I am probably and get up in front of people and speak in front of people. I remember at school until probably high school, I didn't even put my hand up for anything. I wouldn't even answer a question that maybe the teacher asked because I was so scared that what if I say something wrong? Mm-hmm. Does it still happen to me right now? It does. Have I said something wrong? But I think I can deal with it a lot better now. As for then, I think because whether we weren't encouraged enough at home or whether it just felt that we were not fitting in, I was different colour, I was Indian, I spoke another language, which none of the others sort of spoke different languages, didn't make me feel as if, am I good enough? So the aerobics started to get the better out of me to speak and getting in front of people and getting people to do what you want them to do, I think started to make that change.
Mm.
Yeah. How did it change in the community or the eyes of my parents? I think when ProCare Health and Auckland District Health Board took me on as being an Indian to help the South Asian population to become a bit more active and eat healthier, I think they started to recognise the changes coming through. And that's the other reason why I say I am probably who I am because of that, is because the profiles I managed to get, because it was a unique position I held for being an Indian, it helped me to get some profiles very quickly in the eyes of places that were recognised in the country. Yeah.
Wow. So I assume you would have felt a sense of responsibility to be the torchbearer, I guess, for Indians to get into fitness.
Definitely.
How many people do you think you've
changed lives to?
Yeah.
Wow.
In the thousands?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Like biggest achievement for me and the outcome of getting an organisation to make a change has been at the Auckland Indian Association, because I do remember once at a Sunday school, because my kids went to Sunday school, and the discussion happened in one Christmas party that why don't you do classes here? I honestly never thought it would ever happen. I thought, we probably end up doing one or two Saturday mornings and no one will turn up. Because it's been a hard journey to get our South Asian population active.
Of course.
So put my hand up. I said, Saturday, 7:30 a.m. I thought, no one's going to come. Now what is it? We started in 2010. 2023, we've managed to continue the numbers, make it grow, encourage coaches, so they're not instructors, but if I can't go and teach, there are people that are now able to take a class. They're not perfect, but they're coaches. They're doing good. Mm. The pump classes that I teach, there's another person that can actually take the pump class with a very basic technique, but enough to give them a bit of fitness. So that's happened. For me, that's for me an achievement that I was able to help that happen. So, I think a lot of lives have been changed. I do see a lot of women, because not necessarily just aerobics. From aerobics, I picked up just basic community dance. Mm-hmm. And I think through the dance part of my fitness that I do as well, a lot of people who didn't have a platform because they were just too shy, too scared, suddenly are now people who are actually teaching out there or bringing groups together and doing their own little dance group stuff and getting out there on stages without feeling, because they were not confident, they're feeling confident now. So I'm hoping that I've lit in a torch somewhere to say that fitness is probably good for everybody and continue to do that still.
Oh, I think there's no doubt that you've done that. Absolutely no doubt at all. Is it your sense of, is it your fitness journey that's given you so much energy to do how much you do? Or I guess we want to get to the deeper understanding of why you do what you do. Yeah. And because you do, because you do so much as well, it's very rare you find someone who is so on the go, but still wholeheartedly is giving so much to each facet of their life.
Thank you.
Before you answer, I just need to paint the picture, because I've lived with this woman for 28 years of my life.
Yeah, and touch on Talisha's wedding day as well, please. Because
that was
I was outraged. When I found out, I was outraged.
So this lady is the first person to wake up in the house, like even on Christmas Day, right? She doesn't rest on Christmas Day. She'll get up. Even on a holiday, whenever she's looking to book like a place for us to go and stay, first thing she'll look is, does this place have a gym? And does it have a treadmill, a space to do some weights? Yeah. That's what I'm going to be looking at. Yeah, that's what she's going to be looking at.
Priorities.
Exactly. So she wakes up early in the morning. She'll have the morning news running and she's doing her workout, right? She'll get all our lunches ready. make sure we all get to school, and then comes home. Oh, and then also in between all of that, she's also putting a load of washing on, telling us to do any morning jobs we need to get done, right? Yep. Then she goes about her day, fulfilling all these different roles, wearing all these different hats, and then make sure that she's coordinated the afternoon pickup, as well as then making sure there's something for all of us to eat as well, and then making sure we all get a ride home. And then she's probably got some meetings or some sort of Zoom or something in the evening as well. And then gets home, maybe has a bite to eat, and then is still doing work, and then watches the late night news. And then even still is doing work past 11, 12. Yeah. And that's only weekdays. In the weekends, there's no time for rest because it's other community events. Yeah. And that's not just like one or two days. It's probably like one or two days that something like that won't happen. Yeah. And then, yeah, so much so that she's also a marriage celebrant. And during her own daughter's wedding, we, like, everyone knows Indian weddings are like this big full-on event, right?
Yep.
This lady condensed, I don't know, like 5 days, 3 days worth into one day, and even still managed to find a break to go and get someone else married and then turn up and get her own daughter married.
Yeah.
Well, so many people, whenever I say, oh, I'm Ella's son, and the first thing everyone says to me is, oh my gosh, that lady's got so much energy.
Mm.
Wow, she has so much energy. That is the first thing everyone, doesn't matter who it is, will say. Where does that energy come from?
I truly believe energy builds on energy. And I think people don't realize that, I think they need to give it a go. So habits as well. Akash talked about how we go away sometimes, and I do ask about the gym. Not every place has a gym.
Every place, every place. Or there'll be a comment about how there is no gym.
Yes. Yeah.
Or so she'll go for a run.
I'll have to find something else, an alternative. But for me, it's that particular time is for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that just makes me the better person for the rest of the day and the wider community. So it's not about being crazily, overly doing fitness, because it's only sometimes 30 minutes in the day that, and if we're overseas or gone away, it's not as if I'm spending a couple of hours in there. And it just brings me into perspective for the day ahead of me. And I try to keep it out of the way of everyone else's lives. I think my husband has really worked well in knowing that I just have to get that 30 minutes of exercise and get it done, or 45 minutes, and I try to do it before anyone else gets up. But it makes me feel a lot better. And the question that you asked was, how do you get that energy? If anyone hasn't got that energy, I think to give it a go, it's like eating every day, we sleep every day. There's certain things we have to do. We drink water every day. I think exercise is something that the body just needs. And once you start doing that, the feelings you get, the hormones that come out of that, you know, the feelings of feeling so great, hopefully the next day you're in the position of doing something similar again. For me, was because people might say, oh, it's easy for her because she got paid for her classes. So that fitness classes is something that she does. She gets money for it. But what Akash is talking about is things that I did for myself. No one was paying me to do that. Mm.
So she just wakes up and she's doing a step class in the sitting room.
I do it for fitness.
Yeah.
I do it for my well-being. So I think to understand that, and I think the years I did a lot of health promotion helped me understand, I'm just like everyone else. It's really hard to stop eating certain foods. And if you can't do that, you've got to find the alternative. Otherwise, you're going to end up being ill. I want to be around for a long time. So fitness helps me with that as well. I understand the complexity of the way body works through my studies that I did very late in life. And I think to be a healthier body, you have to give and take something. Now, for me to give maybe 30 minutes a day in doing exercise, that gives me the energy to deliver everything else that you spoke about.
Mm.
I think it's so worth it. It's like me banking money into my body.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
And how do you then get the energy? Like, where does the drive and motivation to go and help all these different people mm-hmm. in the community?
Yep.
Where does the energy for that come from?
I think when I talked about the growing up that I had, I think there was another role model probably for me too. And my dad was that role model. And we had a house that, like, well, I used to see him. He used to go to work pretty much probably the life that I'm living now probably. I can probably see that because he used to have that cup of tea that cup of tea didn't quite get finished. He had to come back to drink it. And I think you've seen me do the same.
There's a pot of cha that gets made in the morning and then that whole cha lasts the whole day.
But not the whole day. By lunchtime it's gone, hopefully. Yeah. But because you're dropping and picking and you're doing things in between, you sort of, you made a couple of cups of tea and you probably have that half a cup or one cup and you think, okay, I'll come back and have the other one soon. I think my dad, not did he just work, he looked after his family. He was a leader in the community for our community and he helped the wider community. If anyone wanted to come to New Zealand, they would touch base with him. Even though our house was so full, that person, they never let anyone's, to say, no, you can't come. We had visitors on a regular basis. I think I remember people in the community calling him to ask for help. And the ways he can help, I think that's helped me probably to be similar to what I am. I think everyone has role models in their life, and probably for me that was one of them. My mother's no better. She was probably the same. She's worked for the community on a big scale. And anyone that wanted support, whether it's through celebrations, whether it's through weddings, whether it's just for personal home, trying to keep families to be together with each other. I remember seeing quarrels in families where people came to see my mum and dad for support to see if they can help solve things. As probably a young person, probably seeing all that has helped me to continue something that I think if I can do it and probably now I can do even better because I know English, as for they didn't know English. And probably my experiences in seeing other people go through it and reaching out to one or two support people has helped to raise the profile of some of the reach I have and to get people help. Sometimes it's hard for people if they want support, they want help, they don't know where to start. So just having that person in mind to give a call. And I think I saw that in my dad. People would ring him just to get a bit of, where do I go? And I think that's probably where I picked mine up to. And how do I feel doing that? If I can help one person every day, I think they can help another two people. Because it's like a chain that if I help one, that person's got something now. They've got some knowledge. Next time someone comes to them, they're going to help. Or they might even say, go to Ila Kumar. That does happen. But that's okay because we can try to keep on giving it to the person that has got the time to help others. Through fitness, I think that has happened where if I've helped a group, that group has helped another big group and vice versa. It's not about – one thing I've always said to my students that come to my class because when they feel achieved and they've done a big event, they come and thank me. And I say, no, it's not about me. It's about you because a teacher is only good if the students achieve. And that's what I truly believe in too. So for me, anyone in the community as well who do things for others, I think that's an achievement that they should feel that they've done it.
I was also just going to say, do you want to maybe talk about how you've moved into the position you're in now where you're the chair of the local board and how did you, because you've been in there for, is it
2012? Now 2010, so we're into 14 years now.
14 years of local community service.
Yep.
And holding that as a portfolio and carrying that service. Do you want to talk about what that was like and why you still do it?
Yeah. So my leadership life probably started first in our community where women weren't represented in that community at that time. I think there was one or two that tried but stayed very low key. And I became a secretary in my community. And to have an executive role, I think it was hard because my dad was still on that committee as well. Right. And he was also a barrier of women succeeding, sadly. Yep. But I think he's overcome that now. Often say to him, I said, well, why didn't you support me when I was sitting on that secretarial role?
Yeah.
I remember going into a meeting with him one day and I said, look, we're walking into a meeting. So when we're in that meeting, I'm not your daughter.
Yeah.
I'm the secretary. And I will, you know, you're just another committee member. When we go out of that door, I'm your daughter again. So I said, you might not like the way I talk to you in the meeting. I think he's never said it, but I'm hopefully he was proud of that, making that call. So my life started as a leader there, and for the woman probably in our community, that did give me a little bit of encouragement about having positions in leadership roles. I ended up going onto the Board of Trustees at Mount Roskill Primary School. Mm-hmm. And I think being on the Board of Trustees gave me the taste of what supporting school students more than just your own children. So you're looking after 700 plus children. It's not easy to be Board of Trustees because some people do go with their own interest agenda, only and own agenda. From day one, it was for me, it was, yes, I get to know what my children are doing, but how can I make it a better place for other children as well, who were just as challenged because it was becoming a very multicultural school. And there were lots of different languages and a lot of families that didn't really know the ropes of the way the education system worked. Even I didn't really know. So I think this was a great way for me to find out. I think from just saying that in my life, if I haven't known about something, I think the best way to do it is put your foot into it and go and learn about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I've done in most of the things I took part in. Because even teaching classes, it didn't just come like that. I sort of had to just put my foot into it. Yeah. So once that happened at the Board of Trustees, high school came along because my eldest started to move into high school. So I did about 18 to 20 years in primary school. Then I went into high school and the leadership. I'm really glad I did Board of Trustees because when I got shoulder tapped to stand for the local community in Poketapapa, it was going to be Super City time. A member of my a member in my class came along and shoulder tapped me. And she said, Ela, why don't you stand for the local board? And I did not know what local board was about, honestly. Yep. I heard about community boards then, but I didn't know what it was about. So I said to her, how about if I go to a meeting and just listen to it? I don't know what it's about. We don't have politics in our family. And so I went along and I sat in a meeting, two meetings, and I liked what I heard. And I thought, well, this is just a bigger Board of Trustees. So I put my hand up for it, thinking that one, I'm an Indian, I'll probably never get onto it. And two, I don't know really what was really behind it. I honestly didn't really know. The people that sat on that board, I actually liked the team that I was going to go for. They were very community-minded people. And one was a police officer, one worked for Tier Fund, one was a local community who helped people at the events. Mm. So these people were the people I felt interested in. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, this looks like a great team. I didn't even look at the basis of which team that is connected to, about politics, because for me it wasn't about politics.
Yeah, yeah.
I just liked the people. So then it came to the selection time, and I didn't even know that we had to pay to get to be on these tickets and that sort of stuff. So I paid my way through. Said to my husband, "It's going to probably be a loss of money because I didn't think I'm going to get voted on anyway." That sort of paid for your core floats and all that election stuff that needs to go for it. So
all the boards that you see up, leaflet drops.
Yep. Yeah, and I didn't know that we had to pay for it, but eventually you do have to pay for it first. The position I went for, which was a local board at that time, it was changing to local board from community boards. I didn't even know paid people to sit there. Mm. I actually thought it was like the Board of Trustees where you get a remuneration like your petrol cost. Mm-hmm. I thought it was something like that. So I didn't go in it for money. I went in there because I thought if I can make a change in this community and help the reflection of our community, because there was very low coloured faces. Pretty much, you know, you had people on there, the great people, but just not the representation of what our Auckland was about.
Yep.
And this is just not in Poketapapa. I'm talking about all Auckland. There was no representation of colour.
Yeah, of course.
So I thought, okay, let's give it a go. Let's go through an election. I don't know if my parents actually knew what it was about either, because they didn't really quite support, but my brother helped out quite a bit, and of course the family did too. And when I did get elected on, I think that sort of made the change of what they thought. I don't know if they really knew how big of a wow factor it really was. there's one or two people in the community that contacted me when I got elected the first time, and I actually see them as role models in the community. One was Jagdish Nathali. And I always saw him as a role model in our community, as a great leader. And he rang me. Like, my dad didn't even ring me to say congratulations, but Jagdish Kaka rang me, and he goes, "You've done it on your own merit." Yeah. He goes, "Some people do it on family history. Some people do it on being politically out there, being, you know, being for the MP or doing some sort of other, you know, whether it's just
other
been
motives."
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah. And he goes, "You've done it on your own merit." And that sort of them words stayed in my head for a long time. And there was one other person that contacted me at that time, and he had the Indian Emporium shop up in K Road, Mohan Kaka. Mm-hmm. And he's another person that often contacts me just to give me that little bit of encouragement that I might need as well every now and again on election times. But both of them sort of gave me a call to say congratulations. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a position of recognition. And when I saw it in the paper, saw my name there, I thought, oh my gosh, I am elected. And I came down at, I think it was at that time, number 5, because 6 got elected. So I was quite low,
right.
In the ranking, but I did get on. And I thought, well, someone in the community knew me, otherwise I would not have been elected on. From there onwards, pretty much every election that I have been on, it's been hard. I remember going to the first meeting in Super City time, and a Chinese man came up to me and he said to me, "Well, we're the only two ethnic people here." And we had a good laugh. Wow. But it's not saying that's anyone's fault in that. I think, you know, do we put up our own hand? We don't. If I didn't get shoulder tapped, would I have put my own hand up? Probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of our fault as well that we don't put up our hands to stand there. I know it's a hard though, because the feelings I would have felt, someone else is going to feel just as much.
Yep.
That is changing again. People are putting up their hands for various positions now, but at that time in 2010, not many were.
I was going to say, this because of the work that you've done. And
oh, I hope so.
The representation.
I really
that
hope that's made a change for people to see that you can give it a go.
Absolutely.
And I think about, you know, worrying about being knocked back or not being elected should not worry anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that person. You know, some are going to make it through, some are not. So every election, I actually say to my colleagues, we may get in there, we may not. We have to be prepared for either way. And it's okay. If we don't get elected, does it mean we stop doing our work? We still can carry on doing our work. It just means we're not in that position. It means we can support that group that is up there.
Sure.
And that's fine. That's fine with me. I don't really mind that happening. I've been lucky that each election has given me a bonus by moving up the ladder. When I look at the word, the star sign, I am Capricorn, and Capricorn talks often about taking the ladder or taking the lift, and you take little steps. I must have started about that 6 or 5, and then I went to 4 or 3, one election, and then I went to 1 and 2 until I got to 1 for the last 2 elections.
Yeah.
So I'm really lucky that the community see me at a level where I can represent them and be a voice for them, knowing that I'm not a political person, and as much as I people say that the local government is, I don't think it has to be. I think you are a local politician, if they want to call it that, but it's about community at the heart of all decisions, and then it doesn't be that hard. And it's been a hard journey. I don't think it's easy. I was in front of the mayor today. Did I get rid of the feelings that I had maybe the first day I walked in? Them feelings have come to me several times, still does, that, oh, am I in the right place?
Yep.
Yeah. And I just have to put my foot forward and move forward and go ahead and be me. At the end of the day, I'm probably at a stage where I can do that too, comfortably, with saying there may be times when I don't do the right, say the right thing, or I may not do the right decision. But if I've got the community at the heart of my decisions, if I've got the community at the heart of my thinking, I can't go wrong. And just move forward in that sense.
I just want to make clear that I don't think it's luck at all. I think the last half an hour has just shown, everything that you've said has shown that you are exactly where you're meant to be.
Thank you.
And it's not luck. It's like you said, it's hard work. It's everything that you've done for yourself, for your family, for the community. for women, for Indians. So I wouldn't put it down to luck at all. You've answered a lot of our questions in just riffing like this. I guess I want to know what the end goal is for you. Yep.
If I can make several people out there doing similar things and allowing things to continue, for me, I think I've achieved. So anything that happens in the sense of in our community, if I can get some more people of reflecting our community sitting on them positions, mm-hmm. that's a bonus for me. I actually feel like I've achieved. If I can organise things and allow people to take over to make it continue in the community, that's an achievement for me. Helping people, I think if I can make other people help others, knowing that that's the best thing you can give to anybody as a gift, I think that I've achieved. If I see people start to see their well-being as banking money,
yeah,
I think that's an achievement. Yeah. I think they can be better people.
Yeah. I guess it would be nice if you sort of took a moment right now and if we were to ask you the question, who you are at your core. Because like we said at the top of this, you wear many hats and it's always, they're all external hats as well. You're always giving. Whether it's paid or not paid for the community, for your family, everything that you do is external of yourself. Who are you at your core to yourself?
I am that Indian lady. I am that Indian girl that got brought up in a country where probably Indians are challenged. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother. I'm a wife and happy to do what I can extra to help the wider community.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've seen you persevere. Like we're talking about years and years of hard work and there have been very tough times and I think it doesn't matter what hat you've worn, there's always been like an opposing, someone on the other end of the table opposing, you know, and to have that perseverance, I think that's where, like I always tell these guys, that's where the can-do attitude comes from. You know, you've always told us there's no such thing as can't. You only can and you do your best.
Mm. Yep.
You know?
There's no word can't in the vocabulary. And there's no barriers. I think you make your own barriers. So if you start to see barriers, I think in life there's enough experiences that everyone gets that, you know, life is not happy for everybody. There will be barriers coming up, but it's how you see that barrier. I think if you can look at the barrier and what is it that you can actually make the change to remove that barrier or obstacle, because that's what it's for and that's how you learn.
Very cool.
Anything more to add there, Perry?
No, I think thank you. You're an inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to touch on a couple of things. I think things that sort of stood out to me just in your speaking. When you spoke about just getting on the bus, like that may have seemed so insignificant in your life journey, not to you.
Yeah.
But if you were to say that to someone, you know, one day you just got on the bus. But if you really were to think about what that meant for you, it just really shows that you should do what scares you.
Yeah.
Because on the other side of fear is success.
That's
or
right.
That's where you prosper.
Yeah.
Obviously, the importance of health. I think that's important, and everyone knows and everyone talks about it. But I think it's important that the work that you do and pushing that forward in our community. We don't have the best diet. So anything to counter that, I think, is incredible. I like how you said energy builds on energy. Very true. I think we've had a couple of moments just being in this room where we're feeling low, but as soon as we start, then Akash will bring some energy and then I'll have energy and we sort of just build on that. So very important. And to know that you can change lives just by being full of energy is really cool. You spoke about the importance of habits, which is really cool. And I liked how you said, just put your foot in it.
Yeah.
Mm. If you don't know something,
just try.
Just put your foot on it, because yeah. What's the point in holding
right.
back? So those were some of the key takeaways for me and things that I found very interesting from your life and inspiring.
Thank you.
And I just want to say thank you as well for all the gifts and teachings that you've instilled in us. I think there's a lot of people around my age within Indians, Perry even, who look up to you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I don't think you're just my mum. I think you're a lot of people's mum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think without you, this whole space wouldn't be here. Indians wouldn't be there. There's so many organizations, so many people in different parts of the community who wouldn't be doing what they're doing if you hadn't got on the bus.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's true.
Indians is coming up to 20 years next year, and that was there's no doubt that if you weren't holding Akshi's hand at the start, encouraging, pushing her, that wouldn't have been a thing. And the hundreds
amazing
of students that have gone, the hundreds of students that have gone through that and built confidence and gotten on stage and all of that sort of stuff would not have been possible if it wasn't for you. So you're not only touching the lives of the students that you have, but you know, just a conversation and a little bit of encouragement have snowballed into something huge.
And they run a very successful school now with kids. So that's a great outcome.
Mm.
Yeah. And your energy is just radiant as well. You know, whenever we see you taking, performing up at the Diwali Mela, you know, and doing an engagement with the crowd.
Yeah.
Like those MCs try hard to keep the crowd engaged. And then when you come on for 5 minutes, there's thousands of people. And I've stood on the side of the stage and I've watched, you know, and it's like they could just be like the tallest and bulkiest kind of guy, you know, looking quite rough. But even you get them moving and dancing
when
and smiling.
When J-Hill comes on.
Yeah. You know, and that takes a certain energy and a certain person to be able to connect to other people like that.
Okay.
So I just want to say thank you so much for being that person in our life. We're very grateful that you are that person for us. And I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. And you too, Perry.
I love you too. Is there anything that's coming up that you want to promote?
I think the main thing is for things like this are really helpful for generations to come, and you guys are doing a great job too, because if people get to someone's going to get inspired by anybody that sits in these places, whether it's you guys or whether it's a person that you call as a guest, and that's going to help somebody else's life change. And if you've got the energy to do that too, go for it and do it, because these are the things that help a lot.
Nice. We always like to leave the audience with some sort of an action point. So someone's listening to this tomorrow, what would you suggest what's one action they take tomorrow to better their life?
I'm just sitting here looking at this frame that says the pursuit of a positive being, and to live each day with the knowledge that you try to be the best positive self is, and if they can continue that and finish that is, finish what they want to do after that, I think it would be a great outcome. So I've been sitting here reading that over and over again in my head, just so strong words they are. So if someone really wants to just be positive about them, about others, even if negative comes in the way, there's always a positive. Find the positive.
Find the positive.
Yeah. And if anything's not going the right way, there's always a positive outcome for it. Mm. It's just got to wait and find it. But don't give up.
What was mic drop moment there? what more do you say?
You can't. I've just shown everyone the source. If you're wondering who I am, you found the creator of their energy. I just want to, I think today's just been a very special episode. I'm very grateful that you've been able to come on and share and talk about who you are and why you are the person you are. And I hope that the people listening and watching have taken something out of, taken a leaf out of your book and have had the chance to understand the journey that you've taken in your life. And I hope that inspires them. I really do. So I just want to say with that, thank you to everyone who's tuned in, whether you're watching, whether you're listening. My morale, let's just check it one more time. The nerves are gone.
You're not going to do that.
I'm feeling very a sense of pride and very proud that you are my mum.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very grateful. So I'm at an all-time 100.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where's your morale?
I was 8 when I came in and I'm still 8 to 10. So for me, hasn't dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, feeling just as strong.
Yep.
And just so thankful for everyone around me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sitting at a 100 as well. I think I'm very inspired. It's nice to hear the positive side of what could have... It's nice to see you have a positive outlook on what is generally perceived as a lot of negatives in the way you were brought up and stuff like that. And so... not that I've gone through anything like that, but to know that if you have that that mindset, the outcome is the one and only Ilukuma. Be sure to vote.
You know, the elections aren't far off. No.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is The Human Now.
Take a day off sometime soon.
Maybe.